finances, contact Mandy Roberts, who you may recognize as Mandy Wright. Call her at 715-470-1303. 715.
Good morning and welcome to the broadcast of Zion Lutheran Church at 110 East Grand Avenue in Chippewa Falls. To help you follow along, the order of worship for today's service is available on our website at zionlcmscf.org under the radio tab. The Lord bless you today through the hearing of His Word. May the word of Christ that you heard today dwell in you richly. If you have a question or comment about Zion Lutheran Church or today's service, or if you have a request for prayer, please let us know. We'd love to hear from you. You may reach us through our website, zionlcmscf.org, by phone at 715-723-6380, or in person at 110 East Grand Avenue in Chippewa Falls. If you're looking for a church home, we will gladly tell you more about Zion or help you find a congregation near you. These broadcasts are paid for with the gifts made to our radio fund. If you would like to contribute, click the Give tab on our website, zionlcmscf.org, or send a check to Zion Lutheran Church Radio Fund, 110 East Grand Avenue, Chippewa Falls, Wisconsin, 54729. Zion is a member of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod.
Good morning. And welcome to the Divine Service here at Zion. Allow me to introduce the hymns, especially for those who are listening on the radio, and I'll save the rest of the announcements for the end of the service. We are following Divine Service Setting 3, which is on page 184 of the Lutheran Service Book. The opening hymn is 901, Open Now Thy Gates of Beauty, Sermon Hymn 571, God Loved the World So That He Gave. Distribution hymns 941, We Praise You and Acknowledge You. 578, Thy Strong Word. 922, Go My Children with My Blessing. Closing hymn 685, Let Us Ever Walk with Jesus. Let's begin with our opening hymn 901, Open Now Thy Gates of Beauty.
Thank you.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God, our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
And you forgave the iniquity of my sin.
Almighty God, our Maker and Redeemer, we poor sinners confess unto you that we are by nature sinful and unclean, and that we have sinned against you by thought, word, and deed. Wherefore we flee for refuge to your infinite mercy, seeking and imploring your grace for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ. O merciful God, who has given your only begotten Son to die for us, have mercy upon us, and for his sake grant us remission of all our sins, and by your Holy Spirit increase in us true knowledge of you and of your will, and true obedience to your word, to the end that by your grace we may come to everlasting life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, has had mercy upon us and has given his only Son to die for us, and for his sake forgives us all our sins. To those who believe on his name, he gives power to become the children of God and has promised them his Holy Spirit. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. Grant this, Lord, unto us all.
Glory be to God on high.
And on earth.
The Lord be with you. Let us pray.
Almighty and everlasting Father, you give your children many blessings, even though we are undeserving. In every trial and temptation, grant us steadfast confidence in your loving kindness and mercy through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The Old Testament reading for this Sunday is from Isaiah chapter 56. Thus says the Lord, keep justice and do righteousness, for soon my salvation will come and my deliverance will be revealed. And the foreigners who join themselves to the Lord to minister to him, to love the name of the Lord and to be his servants, everyone who keeps the Sabbath and does not profane it and holds fast my covenant, these I will bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices will be accepted on my altar, for my house shall be called a house of prayer for all peoples. The Lord God, who gathers the outcasts of Israel, declares, I will gather yet others to him besides those already gathered. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from Romans chapter 11. I ask then, has God rejected his people? By no means, for I myself am an Israelite, a descendant of Abraham, a member of the tribe of Benjamin. God has not rejected his people whom he foreknew. Now I am speaking to you Gentiles. Inasmuch then as I am an apostle to the Gentiles, I magnify my ministry in order somehow to make my fellow Jews jealous, and thus save some of them. For if their rejection means the reconciliation of the world, what will their acceptance mean but life from the dead? As regards the gospel, they are enemies of God for your sake. But as regards election, they are beloved for the sake of their forefathers. For the gifts and the calling of God are irrevocable. Just as you were at one time disobedient to God, but now have received mercy because of their disobedience, so they too have now been disobedient in order that by the mercy shown to you, they also may now receive mercy. For God has consigned all to disobedience that he may have mercy on all. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 15th chapter. Jesus went away from there and withdrew to the district of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a Canaanite woman from that region came out and was crying, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. My daughter is severely oppressed by a demon." But he did not answer her a word. And his disciples came and begged him, saying, "Send her away, for she's crying out after us." He answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." But she came and knelt before him, saying, "Lord, help me." And he answered, "It's not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs." She said, "Yes, Lord, yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." And Jesus answered her, "O woman, great is your faith. "Be it done for you as you desire," and her daughter was healed instantly. This is the gospel of the Lord. Together we confess our faith as written in the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for us of salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father, and he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, and with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified. He spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I look for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Please be seated for our sermon hymn 571, God Loved the World So That He Gave. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. So she's not Jewish. She's a Gentile, Canaanite, no less. The people who were supposed to be wiped out when the Israelites entered that promised land. She's certainly not a Pharisee. She's not a teacher of the law, not someone studying God's word in the temple. She's not one of Jesus' 12 disciples with that firsthand experience in observing Jesus himself, the miracles and teachings. And yet she knows something that apparently these others do not know. And she believes it so strongly that Jesus exclaims, "Oh, woman, you have great faith." Jesus and his disciples had just finished some extensive ministry. They had an intense encounter with the Pharisees, and this is when the woman approached them. They had withdrawn to get away yet again. They're probably looking forward to some peace and quiet. They had tried before. People kept following, thousands of people. Thousands of people would follow Jesus and the disciples, hungry for his teaching, desperate for his healing, and with compassion, he took care of all of them, spiritually and physically. He fed all who followed them. Those 5,000 men, plus the women and children, they were all satisfied, even with leftovers. Then after feeding the crowds, Jesus and the disciples went to the other side of the lake. Again, word spread, and the people brought their sick, and everyone who touched him was healed. Again, Jesus and his disciples withdrew from the crowds, and now they've gone north to an area where he's less well known. And well, this is where the Canaanite woman approaches him. Her daughter is severely oppressed by a demon, and she's crying out repeatedly to Jesus, "Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me." So somehow this Gentile woman knows that Jesus is the Jewish Messiah and that he can do something. This poor mother, she's helplessly watched her daughter under this evil power that is beyond her control. And she believes Jesus can help. So she keeps crying out. At first, Jesus does not answer a word. The disciples step in. "Send her away. She keeps crying out after us." Jesus finally answers, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel." She understands. He was sent only to the Jews. But she's undeterred. She worshipfully bows before him. "Lord, help me." His response: "It's not good to take the children's bread and toss it to the little dogs." Again, she understands his meaning. His ministry is to the Jews. She is a Gentile dog. She doesn't argue. She doesn't turn away. She agrees. "Yes, Lord. For even the little dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." This is amazing. Jesus has given her the silent treatment. The disciples try to get rid of her. She is referred to as a dog. She doesn't give up. She doesn't even appear offended. She seems to know something. She doesn't take Jesus' words as an insult, but as a reason to believe. Well, what about you? How would you react if you were her? Or maybe, how do you react when you receive the silent treatment from God? How do you respond? You cry out to God, and you hear nothing. Silence tests your faith. It tests faith in the promises that God has made, promises that are recorded in the Bible, promises of forgiveness of sins, of rescue from death and the devil, promises to overcome evil, promises of eternal salvation to those who believe, promises of peace even in the midst of hardship, promises that he will be with you always, But what happens when we pray and we just hear silence or an answer that we don't want? Or do you think of God as cold and distant, that he doesn't care about you? Do you see God as an angry judge? You're intimidated. You're afraid. Do you think of God as stingy? He gives some stuff selectively, carefully measured. And so, well, you don't want to ask. You don't want to ask any more than he might have. Or maybe you think he's too busy or too tired, so you don't want to bother him. Maybe you don't think he's really that interested in your petty little concerns. We pray for health. We've been sick. We've had an injury. We feel weak, tired. How to be healthy again. But silence, or worse, the pain increases. Your ability to get around just gets harder. Or we ask for peace and happiness within our family and friends, but stubbornness and pride appear. Words are angry, and silence goes far too long. And you wonder, why doesn't God do something? Are we just dogs? We don't even get the crumbs? When the answer is silence or one that we don't want, what do we believe about God? What did the Canaanite woman believe? She kept asking. What was it that gave her this great faith? What did she know? What did she understand that the disciples and the teachers of the law did not seem to understand? What did she believe so much that caused Jesus to exclaim, "A woman, you have great faith"? Well, somehow, this woman knew of Jesus and the promises God made about him, and she believed. Maybe she had heard about promises of God written by the prophet Isaiah, including those made in today's Old Testament reading. God had promised that he would make salvation and righteousness available to all people. Yes, his promise was to the Jews, but also to the Gentiles. His house is for all people. For all nations, regardless of skin color, background, or language spoken, regardless of the popular or official religion of the nation, there's plenty of room. He provides access and he brings us in by Christ, the Messiah, the Son of David. I don't know what that Canaanite woman believed, but we know that she believed in Jesus. Her faith was in him. He's not just the promised Messiah of the Jews, but he is the Savior of the world. He's not just the Son of God sharing crumbs from the table, but he himself is the bread of life given for you. Jesus is not just some crumbs, but a feast for anyone who believes in him. God, out of his abundant love for you, gave his only Son. The rightful member of his household, Christ bore your sins on the cross and experienced the cold, silent neglect of his Father so that you could always come to him in prayer and ask him for help with your deepest needs, just as the Canaanite woman did. Christ's body was broken and his blood was shed so that through Jesus, God is not cold and distant, but as near as the pastor who brings you communion. He's not an angry judge, but a loving father. He's not stingy, but he gives all his promises to us for forgiveness and for everlasting life. Jesus rose from the dead and now sits in the place of honor at the table of the Father in heaven. And he invites you to join him at the banquet feast of celebration. He's not too busy. He's not too busy or with to be concerned about your concerns. You are his children, invited to eat from his table. The Canaanite woman had great faith in Jesus. She may not have known much about Jesus, but she knew enough to believe his promises and to know that there were ample blessings for her, more than enough. and understood this when Jesus called her a dog eating crumbs from the children's table. It's an interesting image, and maybe you've seen this before if you've been around children and dogs. Kids can be pretty messy, and it doesn't take for long for the dog to figure this out when it's time to eat. Well, many years ago, Susan will remember this. This was before Ben was born. We had friends, Mike and Becky, were visiting with their one-year-old twins, Ethan and Abigail. And so Susan and I were paying pretty close attention to the parenting because, well, we were getting ready for our own baby. So we're watching the mealtime routine, and, well, they're in the kitchen because, you know, it's easy to clean up the mess. And Mike and Becky, they're very pragmatic, and so they have Ethan and Abigail with the pelican bib, this hard plastic with the pouch that catches food, you know. So, and they're in the high chairs with the trays and the towel for the adult with the feeding. And, well, Henry, our dog, and the kids, they've already hit it off. And, well, it gets better. Henry's not used to getting people food. But with the children around, it was pretty nice because they're just dropping their food and Henry's cleaning it up. And they're not just dropping it for Henry, they're just messy. They like to drop food. And their parents, they're used to this. They don't sweat it. They know this the way it is, and they have plenty of food, plenty of extra food. Nobody's going to go without food. Ethan and Abigail will be fine, and Henry's going to get more than just a few crumbs. So when Jesus tells the woman that it's not good to take the children's bread and toss it to the dogs, she understands. There's plenty. She also knows that at God's table, even a crumb is a feast. God's blessings are abundant. There's plenty for everybody. And so God fulfilled his promise to bless even the Gentiles. Jesus said, "O woman, your faith is great. May it be as you desire." Her daughter was healed instantly. A crumb from the Lord's table, but a feast for this woman. And for us too, there's more than enough. God's generous with his blessings. He's faithful to his promises. In Christ, you receive God's blessings. Yes, he promises to supply all your needs. So he blesses you with food and clothing and shelter. He's given you family and friends. And you receive the great blessings of the feast when we commune. Food, bread, and wine, but more than crumbs, more than a small wafer and a sip of wine, it's Jesus' body and blood. God's promise is fulfilled right here with us, close, loving, freely given to you. When you participate in the Lord's Supper, you receive Christ's body and blood, sacrificed for you for the forgiveness of your sins. You receive forgiveness and life, salvation. You receive a foretaste of the feast to come. You receive assurance of your place at the celebration banquet in heaven. More than crumbs, Jesus himself, a feast for all eternity. And may the Lord grant you great faith in his promises of forgiveness, salvation, and life with him in heaven. Amen. And may the peace that passes all understanding keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Please stand as we continue with the offertory. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the house of the Lord, that it may be a house of prayer, and we a people of prayer, let us pray to the Lord. For the church, that she may steadfastly proclaim the irrevocable gifts and calling of God, that the disobedient may receive mercy, and that those who hear may become branches grafted into the true vine, Jesus Christ, let us pray to the Lord. For all honest work and occupations and our good use of the fruits of our labors, for generosity toward those in need, and for the tithes and offerings that accompany our sacrifice of praise, let us pray to the Lord. For the government and those who protect us, that they may keep justice and do righteousness, carrying out their duties in accord with God's will, let us pray to the Lord. For the sick and afflicted, those beset with grief and sorrow, with pain and any trouble, especially Marlis, Pastor Jones, Haley, Marlis, Pastor Sedlock, Ruth, Irma, Lacey, Jim, Lewis, Greg, Diane, Nancy, Ben, Mark, Blaine, Audrey, Mary Jo, Lynn, Ralph, Amy, Ben, Cookie, Sarah, Marlene, Chad, and April, that the Lord would be pleased to answer their cries for the sake of Christ. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For Pastor Erno and Doreen Sedlak, for 60 years of holy matrimony, we give you thanks and pray that you continue to bless them, sustain them, and give them your grace. Lord, in your mercy, for those who are about to receive Christ's body and blood from this altar, that these crumbs may strengthen us in faith and love, united with God and neighbor, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord,
hear us, Heavenly Father, for the sake of Christ Jesus, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
And a blessing, especially for those listening on the radio, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
Amen. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up unto the Lord.
Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God.
It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who on this day overcame death in the grave and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me."
The peace of the Lord be with you always. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good.
Let us pray. O God, the Father, the fountain and source of all goodness, who in loving kindness sent your only begotten Son into the flesh, we thank you that for his sake you have given us pardon and peace in this sacrament, and we ask you not to forsake your children, but always to rule our hearts and minds by your Holy Spirit, that we may be enabled constantly to serve you through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
The Lord be with you.
And with
thy spirit. Bless we the Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
You may be seated for our closing hymn, 685, Let Us Ever Walk with Jesus.